I'm going to be speaking today from the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, the 1st verse. My text is, "Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Now, before I deal with that text from Romans chapter 8, verse 1, and I wish very much that you'd get your Bible and open it to this 8th chapter of Romans, because I'm going to point out something here that needs to be said. Now, somebody talks about us being a little controversial, you know, and some of the things I say, one of our elders said, may raise some eyebrows. But if the truth raises an eyebrow, I want to raise two eyebrows, because truth needs to be preached. We need to be honest. And I'm going to be honest with you today and truthful with you. And I'm going to preach to you what God's Word says, not try to get along with you. Paul said, if I seek to please men, I'm not the servant of Jesus Christ. And if it's in God's Word, I'm going to preach it to you, because you need to hear the truth. It's the truth that'll set men free. That truth is Christ Jesus. But before I deal with the text, I want to read the closing verses of chapter 7. Now, Romans 7 and Romans 8. You've heard people say, we need to get out of Romans 7 into Romans 8. Well, now, that's nonsense. They're not two different scriptures. They're one scripture, one message. You see, in the original scriptures, there were no chapter divisions. There were no verses. But when they translated the Bible into English out of the original scriptures, they divided it into chapters and verses. Now, unfortunately, and anyone that knows anything about the Bible knows this is true, unfortunately, our forefathers put these divisions in some places that caused problems. And this is one of them. You have Romans chapter 6 and Romans chapter 7 and Romans chapter 8. And people read them as if they're just separate books. They're just separate. Paul the Apostle is just dealing with a separate subject. And it's led to an error. People talk about, let's get out of Romans 7 into Romans 8. There's no getting out of one into the other. They are one. They are one. And Romans 7 and Romans 8 are one message. It is one message. And Romans 7 and Romans 8 has been, is now, and always will be until we die, the experience of every believer. That's right. You might as well read Romans 7 and Romans 8 together, because if you are a true believer in Christ, your experience will be Romans 7 and Romans 8. You'll never get out of Romans 7 until you die, until that body of death, that body of sin be destroyed, be eradicated, be buried and put in the grave to walk no more. Listen to Romans chapter 7, verse 21. Go back now to Romans 7, 21. I'm preaching from Romans 8. But as I said, there's a division here that shouldn't be here. Paul said in Romans 7, 21, I find then a law, a rule, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another rule. I see another law in my members, warring. That's a conflict. Warring. He didn't say just nipping or biting. He says making war against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. This is Paul speaking now. And this is what upsets a lot of pious, self-righteous, religious, Christ called them hypocrites, whited sepulchres. They just don't like to hear a converted man, a saved man, a child of God, call himself a wretched man. They don't even like to be called sinners. They like to be called saints. But anybody who calls himself a saint just more than likely is not one. Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I serve the law of God. I serve the law of God with the inward man, with the spiritual man, with the mind. But with the flesh, I serve the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I challenge you to divide that. It must go together. Don't you leave me back there without any comfort, without any consolation, without any gospel, without any good news, What's Paul saying here? Just what is he saying? In Romans chapter 7, in Romans, what is he saying? Well, I'll tell you what he's saying. He's saying he's not perfect. That's what Paul's saying. Here, this chief of apostles, here this founder of churches, here this ordainer of bishops and elders, here this man counted worthy to suffer for Christ's sake, who bore in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ, the scars of the gospel. This man who planted churches all over Europe and Asia and Africa, this man who was persecuted more than any man for Christ's sake. I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. He says, I've not arrived. I haven't laid hold upon that for which I've been laid hold of by Christ. Not yet. Not yet. He's saying, I have a struggle. I'm in a conflict. I'm in a battle. I'm in a warfare. And that warfare is real. And that warfare is with a real enemy. And that enemy is my flesh and my sin. And yet, he rejoices in the mercy of God. He rejoices in the grace of God in Christ Jesus. He rejoices in forgiveness. He rejoices that sin has been put away. It does not reign. It does remain as a troublesome enemy, but it does not remain. This is what Paul's saying. This is exactly what he's saying. He says, I struggle against sin, and yet I rejoice in complete justification at the same time. He says, I'm in a state of conflict, but I'm not in a state of condemnation. He says in Galatians 5:17, my flesh lusteth against my spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, this is a conflict the unbeliever does not experience. Somebody sitting out there and say, well, I don't have a problem with that. Well, I know you don't, because you're not saved. You're not a child of God. The unbeliever has no conflict, and the religionist won't admit it. That's so. But Paul admitted it. And the men who wrote the Scriptures, I want to share something with you. The men who wrote the Scriptures wrestled with sin, every blessed one of them. They wrestled, they warred, they had a conflict with sin, and yet they rejoiced at the same time in salvation, in forgiveness, in pardon, in the mercy of God. Now you listen. I'm just going to pick the prominent ones, the ones that you know so personally. The ones that with which you are so familiar, with whom you're so familiar. First, David. David, God's, the man after God's own heart. And notice every one of these statements are in the present tense. Not any one of them in the past tense. Somebody said Paul was describing his unsaved state. That's not so, and you know it. Paul's describing his present state. I am, O wretched man that I am. The things I do, I allow not. I don't approve of. The things I would not do. The things I would not do, I do. What I hate, that do I not, and so forth. But here's David. Listen to him. My sins are ever before me. That's not now. Ever before me. And yet he's the same man who wrote, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is my rock, in whom I trust. And then listen to Job. Job says, I hate myself. I hate myself. I abhor myself. Job said, behold, I am vile. I put my hand over my mouth. Once have I spoken, yea, twice. Things too wonderful beyond my understanding. I'll not do it again. For Lord, behold, I've seen thee. I've heard of you, but now I've seen you. I hate myself. And yet he's the same man who said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And then listen to Isaiah, present tense. I am a man of unclean lips. We're doing our best to impress everybody around us with our piety. Our Lord Jesus said, ye are they which justify yourselves before God, but that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God Almighty. We need to find our righteousness in Christ. Listen to Isaiah. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And yet he's the same man who wrote, by his stripes we are healed. We are healed. We struggle against sin, yet we rejoice in salvation at the same time. Listen to Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, you can't do good any more than an Ethiopian can change his skin or a leper his spots. He said, your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And yet he's the same man who kept saying, the Lord's my righteousness. The Lord's my righteousness. The Lord my righteousness. Listen to Paul. I'm the chief of sinners. Somebody said Paul graduated downwardly. At first he said, I'm not worthy to be an apostle. And then he came along later and said, I'm less than the least of all the saints. He's growing. And then he came along and said this, I'm the chief of sinners. I read an article one time. I meant to share it with you last week, and I wasn't able to. I'll share it with you this week. John Newton wrote this. His own experience, he said. The Lord said to John Newton, come down. And he said, I came down until there were few beneath me. Come down, he said. Down, sinner, down. Come down, he said. I came down until I was on the level with the lowest. Come down, he said. Come down. Down, sinner, down. I came down until I was lower than the beast. Come down, he said. Come down. Down, sinner, down. And he said, I came down until I despaired of any mercy. And I said, oh Lord, surely there's no hope for a sinner like me. And then he spoke peace to my heart. Have you ever been there? I tell you, this religion of today puts the gifts on the higher shelves, but God's gifts are on the lower shelves. That's where they are. God's good things, God's gifts, God's grace. He giveth grace to the humble. You've never had any grace. You've never been low enough. You've never been broken enough. The sacrifices of God are a broken heart, a broken and a contrite spirit. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. The Lord is nigh unto them of a broken heart. Your preacher's been bragging on you so long, he's just about put you in hell. That's a fact. You'll never be saved till you come to God as a sinner. And if you can come that way, you can be saved, because he'll never cast out a sinner. There's mercy for sinners. Mercy for sinners. Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. The chief of sinners. But he's the same man who said, therefore, being justified by faith, I have peace with God. A believer is a paradox. He's the fullest, emptiest person in the world. He's the holiest sinner that ever was. That's right. He's a paradox. All of these things in the present tense. And you'll never see the truth of it or the blessing of it until you see this. Now is my heart heavy with a sense of my guilt and my sin. But now my heart rejoices in God's mercy and God's grace. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation. Now, this man Paul in the present tense says, oh wretched man that I am. And then turns right around and says, now there's no condemnation. No condemnation for wretched men? No, sir. Not wretched men who are in Christ. I'll get to that in a minute. Now Paul said, I'm troubled. Troubled on every side. With a sense of my unworthiness before God. With a sense of my guilt before God. But now I'm comforted by his grace. You notice this, when Paul speaks of his inward conflict over sin, he speaks in the first person. Read chapter 7. Read chapter 7 again. He said, I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. I delight in the law of God, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into conflict. O wretched man that I am, never says us, we or them. Always in the first person. Always. But when he speaks of God's mercy in Christ, it's always in the general term, them. Them. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who in Christ Jesus. Here's what Paul is saying. I know my sins. I know my trials. I know my tribulations. I know my tests and temptations. I don't know yours. I don't know yours. I'm not going to accuse you before God, but I'm going to be honest before God. My heart is going to be open before God. I'm going to deal with God in honesty and truth, because honest people don't wind up in hell. Did you know that? People who deal with God honestly and truthfully. God knows your heart. God doesn't look on your words. You're not heard for your much speaking. Other people do. That which is highly esteemed among men. God does not see as a man sees. God looks on the heart. Men look on the outward countenance. They listen to your words and your bragging and your testimonies, but God looks on the heart. And that's the reason Paul says, I know God's mercy is for all them who are in Christ Jesus. Let me speak to this issue in four ways. I'm going to talk about the believer's conflict. The believer's conflict. First of all, All right, listen to this. Verse 14. Paul says, the law is spiritual. Romans 7. I am carnal. The law is spiritual. Now, this will help you if you listen. The law is spiritual. I am carnal. I am a man of the flesh. I don't care what you say. I know you're saved. You're born of the Spirit. You have a spiritual nature and spiritual life, but you're still walking around in a human body. Now, this is what Paul is saying. The law is spiritual. The law is a spiritual law which comes from the Spirit of God and reaches to the spirit of men. The law requires not just outward holiness and outward deeds and outward righteousness of action, but the law is a spiritual law that demands inward holiness of attitude. You see what I'm saying? The law is spiritual. You can't tie it to a bunch of do's and don'ts having to do with the flesh. The law is spiritual. Listen to it. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is spiritual. The law is spiritual. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hang all the law. So he never said that about any other two commandments, or about any other commandment, or about any other portion of Scripture. On these two hang the whole law of God, the law spiritual. I know what you and everybody else has been making the law to be involved with. Only a bunch of outward acts. And that's the reason folks are so good on the outside and mean as the devil on the inside. Is because the law is spiritual. God's law is spiritual. And Paul says, what's his response to this? When he comes face to face with this law, he said, the law came and I died. It killed me. The law didn't make me go around bragging on myself, Paul said. It slew me. When I saw this spiritual law, it killed me. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. And I found out, what did I find out? I am flesh. I'm carnal. I don't love the Lord with all my heart, soul, and mind, and you don't either. I don't love my neighbor as myself, and you don't either. Now, I can keep some of your rules and regulations, but that's not God's law. And then he goes on verse 15, and he says, I do what I don't approve of. And what I should do, I don't do. I should love God with all my heart, soul, and mind, but I don't. The very things I hate are the things I do and say and think. Do you? He says in verse 18, I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, in this natural man, dwelleth no good thing. Or to will is present with me. I'd love to do that, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you love to love God with all your heart, and your soul, and your mind, and your neighbors, yourself? He said, to will is present with me. How to perform that, which is perfect. And that's all God can be satisfied with, perfection. How to perform that which is perfect. Paul said, I'm not trying to find out how to perform the rules and regulations of certain churches in certain cities. I'm trying to find out how to perform that which is perfect. I can't find it in me. I can find it in Christ, the object of my faith. But I can't find it here. I've looked in vain. And then he says this. Paul admits to being a man with two natures. He admits to it. He said, I have a holy nature that delights in holiness. After the inward man, I've got another nature, an old nature, that has no goodness, no righteousness, and constantly wars against my new nature. Paul confesses to being a man with two wills, the will to do God's will and the will to do his own will. That's the believer's conflict. And I'm going to tell you this. You people who know God, who are redeemed, you're not going to find any real peace and joy and comfort until you come face to face with this issue and face it and deal with it as Paul dealt with it, because he goes from there to the believer's confidence. If you keep looking for salvation in yourself and righteousness and acceptance with God, if you keep looking in here in your own heart to find any reason for God's mercy, you're going to be in trouble the rest of your life, because if you look honestly, you're going to be shocked at what you find. Here's the believer's confidence. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. When he went through all of this, admitting his natures and his wills and his conflict, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ. No condemnation. You mean, preacher, no guilt? No guilt. No judgment? No judgment. No charge? No charge. We'll never be called to account for our sins. Never. Because Christ died for our sins. That's right. Romans 8, verse 32 said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies, just as if I had never sinned. It's Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Now, this is a blessing that's not going to be revealed in eternity. It's ours right now. My conflict's now, so I need the mercy now. My conflict's now, so I need the grace now. My warfare is now, so I need the comfort now. I don't need it at the judgment. I need it now. Right now. Behold, now, John said, are we sons of God. Right now. It doth not appear what we shall be. But I'll tell you this. When he shall appear, we're going to be like him. All my sins, past, present, and future, were laid on Christ. And the scripture says they were blotted out. They were separated from me as far as the east is from the west. They were cast into the depths of the sea. The Bible says they were cast behind the back of God, and I don't know where that is. And they'll be remembered no more. Oh, preacher, I tell you, what a blessing. Yeah, but here's the key. Here's the key. That's not for everybody. Everybody would abuse it, misuse it, turn it into lasciviousness. But now listen to what he says. There is therefore now no condemnation. Here's the key. To them who are in Christ Jesus. Not to them who are in the church with their names on the roll alphabetically recorded. Not to them who are in religious ceremonies and activities. Not to them who are in ceremonialism. Not to them who are in tradition and custom. To them who are in Christ Jesus. How'd they get there? How'd they get in Christ Jesus? You see, every blessing's in Christ. God's vested everything in his Son. Everything's in Christ. God didn't put anything in the church. He put it in Christ. Christ is head of the church, but it's in Christ. God didn't put it in an altar, a mourner's bench, or baptismal waters, or sacraments, or communion. He put all blessings in Christ. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in him. It's in Christ. That's where it is. You'll miss it, you miss Christ. How'd I get in Christ? How'd these people get in Christ? How'd Paul get in Christ? Well, he's in Christ, first of all, by God's grace, by God's purpose. He chose us in Christ. He said before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him. In love, he predestinated us unto the adoption of children. That's how we got in Christ. God put us there. And then secondly, we got in Christ by the Holy Spirit's work. He baptized us into the body of Christ by one Spirit. We're born of the Spirit of God. We were put in the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit, supernatural, irresistible. I spoke last week about it. Effectual work. And then we're in Christ by faith. We're in Christ by faith. Christ dwells in me by his Spirit. I dwell in him by faith. By faith. Coming to Christ and believing on Christ is the same thing. So there's no condemnation. The believer's conflict is real. The believer's Savior, he's real. He's real. And we're in him. And we're complete in him. And Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he says, I'm the vine and you're the branches. You sever the branch from the vine, it's fit only for the burning. And the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. It doesn't have any life in itself. It doesn't produce any life. It doesn't have anything. It gets everything from the vine. And we get everything from Christ. He's the head and we're the body. Without him, we can do nothing. We are nothing. We perish. It's all in him. You're no separate entity. In God's kingdom, you're in Christ, but you're not in his kingdom. Now, here's the believer's conduct. He says there's no condemnation to them who are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And he says that two or three times. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, there's no condemnation. The reason for that is not because we walk not after the flesh. That's a description of those to whom there's no condemnation. That's not the reason why we have no condemnation. The fact that we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's the description of those who are in Christ. What is a walk? What is a walk? That's a direction. That's a tenor of life. That's the bent of the will, you see. That's the general direction of life of that individual. And that walk is in the Spirit. The believer has a struggle with sin, but he doesn't love it. The believer has a conflict with the flesh and the old nature, but doesn't excuse it. The believer hates his evil thoughts and words and deeds. He loves holiness and truth. His walk is in the direction of righteousness and holiness and honesty and truth. He yearns for it and pants after it and longs for it and looks forward till the day he or she shall be just like Christ. The unbeliever minds the things of the world. What does it mean he minds these things? He's concerned about them, overly concerned, overly anxious. The unbeliever, he minds the things of the world. The unbeliever minds the things of the Spirit. That's what's on his mind. That's what concerns him. Now, last of all, the believer's comfort. Romans 8:16, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we're children of God, then we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ.